tell you some of the things that happened since the 1st of May, or the 1st of April. And maybe they'll help you understand what's been going on. And my old man, whoever wants to listen to this goddamn thing. Things were pretty quiet when I first got here. Come down from Quantry, thought, God almighty, what a nice place this is going to be. Nobody had ever heard of a 51 Cal. Nobody'd seen one in about, God, I don't remember, 8 months. Occasionally they'd get one down here. Blow its Sierra away and that'd be all of that. However, excuse me, come along about the first day in April, NVA decided they'd invade Anlock, or correction, locked in. Started with a two-pronged attack. One on the camp at Loch Nen itself, or the compound, and one on Quan Loi Airstrip, which is about 10 miles to the south, and about 2 miles due east of Van Loch. I'm not really sure which day the actual siege began. I believe it was about the 5th. Of April, it always started. We were staging out of Quan Loi Airstrip, flying in the fishhook of Cambodia and looking for these division-sized elements, trying to figure out what the hell they were going to do. Targeting them for attack air. And generally just trying to raise hell with them because they knew they'd be starting an offensive soon. And we found some tremendous caches in Cambodia. And a few people, but generally we couldn't find out where in the hell they were all going. Kind of drawn a blank. Well, we'd been doing that for, I guess, 2 weeks. I didn't really like Cambodia. Kind of reminds me of Africa. It's quite a difference between Cambodia and Vietnam, so. Well, going to Cambodia, it's like going from East Texas to West Texas just by crossing a river. A hell of a difference. Anyway, we found what our old base camps were. Found a lot of 51 pits. Other heavy anti-aircraft weapons, but couldn't find any of the weapons and couldn't find more than a handful of people. Never did occur to us that something was wrong here. Appears that we've been flying over them every day en route to Cambodia looking for them. Damn people are smart, they can hide an army in 3 foot of grass. So, anyway, there we were sitting on Quan Loi Airstrip. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning on the 5th of April. And a damn thing came under ground attack. Mortars, small cannon, weapons fire, machine guns, it works. It's exciting. Oh, goddamn. Na-na-na-na-na. So away we go into the wild blue. Go screeching up to find out that Loch Nen's under attack. Well, we sent a heavy fire team up there, closed our platoon leader, and a guy named Tom Jones, which possibly one of my very best friends over here. Coming up to Loch Nen early that morning, intel had said that there were only estimated 5,000 NVA troops up there. First thing they did when they get there is catch 600 of them in the open. Trying to overrun. There's three compounds at Loch Nen on the western side of a north-south runway. Rubber trees all around it. Beautiful little place. And gooch running all the rubber all around it. out there and got these 600 dudes in the open, expended on them. These dudes were just fixing over on the southern compound. The guy in the compound down there screaming, "Goddamn, I see him down there. Shit, shoot, shoot." They rolled in a shot. I don't know how many they killed. NVA were in a little depression, kind of like a drainage ditch. It was about 10 feet wide, about 3 feet deep from the normal terrain there. And they put 100 and some odd rockets and, I'd say 60, 70 pair of nails, 40 millimeter minigun, everything in there. The smoke cleared away, so goddamn many bodies, you couldn't count them. Seems the gooks were fixing to overrun the place, and that broke the attack. Well, we got three aircraft shot up that day. Fortunately, I wasn't flying any of them. And TAC Air came along, waxed the people in the rubber. Nice job, fellas, and we went home. Well, the 6th of April was a little bit worse. We took off about, 6 o'clock in the morning. We were staging out of Song Bay Airstrip, which is a little old abandoned airstrip about 20 miles east of Loch Ninh. And we started up that morning. It was overcast. Overcast was about 1,000 foot. And there was ground fog in between that. Pretty bad day. So on the way up to Song Bay, we tuned on the radio to the guy on the ground. They're all screaming and begging. General Hollingsworth up there talking to the guy. They were being overrun that morning. They had tanks in the wire. Gooks everywhere. Intel had now estimated there were three NVA divisions involved. Two actually in the fight, about 20,000 people. And one in reserve. Well, we got up there and Blue Max, which is more or less an on-call. Cobras had refused to go in because of the ceiling. They just, "Sorry, bud, we can't help you." Well, me and Jonesy went up there, this poor bastard screaming on the ground, heard a goddamn bullet whizzing by his mic, and went up there anyway. Nothing else we could do. The gooks had the ass. Must have been 20 or 30 51s set up around the rubber, around the compound, 23 millimeters, which produces a flak, and a couple 37s to keep the TAC Air away. They meant business, I guess. Anyway, we went up to Loch Ninh. Then they had a Spectre aircraft working out up there. Spectre's a big C-130. Carries a 20 millimeter miniguns and a 105 millimeter recoil. I mean a 105 millimeter howitzer in the back end of it. And a couple 40 millimeter pom-pom guns like the Navy had. Well, that's a bastard. It'll tear the hell out of anything. He was circling over the compound at about 10,000 feet, taking air bursts, shooting, destroying tanks. It was the damnedest thing you ever saw. There's a little hole in the clouds over Loch Ninh. And he asked a guy on the ground, screaming if somebody wouldn't come and help him. So called up General Hollingsworth. "Goddamn, we'll try." Went down in through there, and you could see people running all over the place. That was about 3,000. Hadn't yet been scared by the 51s yet. Knew they were down there. Rolled in about 3,000. Shot. Broke out, and all I saw was tracers. Unbelievable. I really can't describe it. The feeling, knowing that they're so close. It's not even cool. Well, broke around, covered Jonesy. He went back in. And I went back in. We extended, headed for Song Bay and to rearm. We had six Cobras that day that came up with our unit. And we all extended at about, the first 20 minutes of the battle there. It was amazing. Nobody got hit. Anyway, went back, Song Bay, rearmed, flew back, shot the place up again, went back. This went on from 6 a.m. in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, you really can't believe it. Never shut down for 7 hours, I guess. Flying out the end of that shit. Shooting, getting shot at, flying back. Unbelievable. Anyway, about 1 o'clock, Hollingsworth, who'd gone crazy because there wasn't any TAC air available. I guess that guy started swinging people's heads for about 100 miles around him. Pretty soon there were so many damn fighters down there that you couldn't do anything without getting in one of them's way. Saw one of them hit a tank with a 500-pound bomb. It was really cool. This whole tank hauling ass down the side of the runway there. A-37, which was that little Cessna straight wing job, come in and dropped a bomb right on top of him. Really decent. Anyway, about 1 o'clock, fighting had ceased quite a bit. And I came back. I thought, God almighty, I believe we've licked these sons of guns. So we decided we'd get a plan here to try and pull the American advisors out. And Hollingsworth came over and he asked for the best team that our unit had. Well, Mr. Jones, probably the finest gun pilot I've ever seen. Probably knows more about the AH-1G than the people that built it. It's fantastic. Do anything with a goddamn thing. And knows what to do with it if something goes wrong. He got shot down the day before. Anyway, he said, I'll go. And I'll cover the little bird that's going in there. Well, we're going to send a little bird in. A little loach. Sound like a goddamn angry wasp. You know. We'll send him in there and see if he got his shit stacked. If he didn't, they were going to send some slicks in there, try and pull these people out. So Jonesy went, well, shit, I'll go. First and last time I ever volunteered for anything. So they got out this big plan, you know, said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put this gas in the rubber on each side of the compound. This gas is an immobilizing agent that makes you vomit, cough, crap, piss, anything. And you cannot move with that stuff. It's, I don't know what it is. Has the same effect on everybody. Gas masks don't seem to help. Don't put that stuff in there. And then you ought to be able to go down there and pick the advisors out. Well, everything was cool. Except they had 5 aircraft ordered up with this stuff on board and only 3 showed up. Therefore, they only got 2 sides of the rubber real well. So, we knew it was going to be bad. As a matter of fact, I didn't think I'd come back. And, basically, because I knew that if out of our team, 2 Cobras and a little loach that went in there, if somebody got shot down, we'd all die trying to get him out. Hell of a thought, really. Just couldn't leave the guy down there, and everybody knew it. Well, it's kind of like it's kind of like talking to somebody just before you knew you were gonna die. So many people came up with that funny look in their eyes, maybe a tear or two, and shake your hand and look at you, you know, just like they ain't ever gonna see you again. And goddamn, after about 2 hours of this, I knew what my chances were anyway. It was slim, very, very slim. Somebody had to try. That's the way I look at it. Damn, if I was down there on the ground, I'd hope somebody'd do it for me. So about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they dropped the gas in there. Shooting stopped almost immediately. And we figured it would. Our plan was to put the little bird down about 5 clicks southeast of Loch Ninh. Send him in there low level. And when we knew he'd take fire, before he got to the compound itself. And that was just part of the game. We had to see what the fire was going to be like inside the compound, inside the rubber there. Then we put him down. He instantly flew across a four-barrel 50 cal position, which missed him, fortunately. Flew about another click, ran across a twin 50, opened up on him. He got away from that one. Got to the rubber, coming up on the compound. Nobody was shooting. Got inside the rubber. And I just know those gooks couldn't believe it. They just stood there and looked. Those, I guess the gas didn't have the effect that it was supposed to have. Winds, maybe, I don't really know, but got inside the compound and got to where four of the Americans were. And the whole place opened up. And I can describe what it sounded like. It sounded like from where I was, and I was about 2,200 feet, or about 1,800 feet above the ground there, which is a dead man's zone, 51. Got to get down that low cover of scout, little bird. Sounded like somebody had a big pot of boiling grease and had thrown a cup of ice water in it. That's how intense the goddamn fire was. Tracers, Jesus Christ. You couldn't see anything in tracers. Anyway, they hit the little bird 3 or 4 times and spun away. The only way out was across the open area, across the runway, to the other side, to where the rubber was, out to the east. About 550 cows locked in on him. Jonesy was the lead snake, and he took shot at the first couple. My job was to cover him, so I couldn't do anything about the ones that were to one side. Just hope they missed. Yeah, I started shooting, covering him, and 3 guns on the right side of us as we were going out broke off contact. And, I don't know, it seemed like an eternity that I was in there. I've never figured out yet why God let us out of there. I really don't know. Just can't believe it. I was looking right down the barrel of 51 once, trying to get out. And I just punching off rockets, hoping that some people would put their heads down, and I damn if I didn't get a lucky hit on that 51. And he was hosing me down pretty good. It wouldn't have been long before he got me. I had tracers going on either side of my canopy. None of the snakes took hits. I really can't believe that, but none of us did. Got out. Got the crippled little bird back. Pilot was hit with glass. He wasn't hurt. Went back, rearmed, refueled. Hollingsworth said, "What do you do it again? Can you try it again?" Shit, I sucked the seat up between my cheeks there. I was so goddamn scared. I said, "Yeah, I'll go again." So you got to do something about that fire down there. He said, "Yeah." And they waxed the place for about another hour with airstrikes, delay bombs, CBU, which is a butane type of explosive. You drop it and it falls down through the trees, about 1,000 little bomblets, and then goes off. Well, did that for about an hour. Started to go back, and just as we started going to go in the compound, the guys screamed out. He said, "We're being overrun again." The guys evidently had been driven out of the rubber trees and knew they had to take the compound or they were all going to die. So the guy you need, he escaped and evaded to the north. Damn if he didn't get home. About 4 days later, he got away. I can't believe it. He did get away. And with that, there was no need for us anymore, and we went home. Down on the 7th, made overrun, locking in, and there's no business going back up there. So they sent us out looking for where these people had gone to. Knew they'd be coming down to see if they could take Antlock. That was their original plan. Take the provincial capital and have something to crow about, I guess. So they sent us out looking for these guys. That's a hell of a job. Can you imagine? Looking for a division. When you find it, what the hell are you going to do with it then? Yeah, go find a division. You go to hell. Anyway, and we began to search for these people. Found trails, found tank marks, found everything. Couldn't find the people. When they don't want to be found, goddamn, you don't find them. You just don't find them. So, all of a sudden we got this call, Chinook shot up by Budop, which is northeast of Loch Ninh. Oh, I'd say 30 miles. We went flying up there to see what was going on. Budop, same kind of a place, rubber all around it. Duke's in the rubber shooting the Chinooks while they're evacuating the Arvins up there. Bringing the Arvins down to Antlock for the big battle that everybody knew was coming. Well, and we got up there. Found a few of them in the rubber, shot them up. Hate to go out over that damn rubber. Can't see down through the stuff. We gotta get real low and real slow. Well, the scout gets down there real low anyway, but gotta get so slow to see down through it that bad guys can see up real well. But anyway. We'd shot up a few of them. I was back in Song Bay rearming. Calling out we had a down bird. Well, jumped in my airplane, went screaming back out there. One of our loaches has been shot down. And everybody's expended except the guy I had been flying with. He'd got off the ground before me. And he went straight out to where it was and started circling real low over rubber trees, looking for this guy. Started taking fire. Took a couple hits. Hell, I got down there with him. Seemed like the safest place to be. Flying circles, real tight circles around us, but hitting our rotor blades in the rubber trees so low. Shooting turret. Pretty soon they attacked. Decided they'd had enough of that shit, and they backed off for a little while. Buying a slick load of people, inserted them. And covered the insertion, covered the ship as they went out. 2-0 ran out of fuel. And go back, and I stayed. Well, section of Blue Max showed up again. These heroes and decided they didn't want to go to Loch Ness, showed up. And I don't know, supposedly how I got put in for the Silver Star, I didn't do a damn thing. Weird. But I couldn't see the people on the ground. We had about eight, what we call browns, or a mixture of Cambodians, Thais, and Vietnamese. They're really good fighters. We got 20 of them organic with us. We carry them everywhere we go. They can take apart a helicopter. Jesus, you wouldn't believe it. Oh, that's their job. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So these guys, you know, screaming at me. I'm circling down there, and I'm trying to ensure that the guys on the ground aren't in any trouble, you know, shooting occasionally, looking for movement down through the rubber, and these guys up above me screaming, "You're taking fire. God damn, they're taking fire." Well, a classic statement, I think, probably was what said, "Give that man a Silver Star. God damn." As I said, "No sweat, they ain't hit me yet. Just start shooting where it's coming from, please. So you'll have to pull out of there." And they said, "Well, my friendlies don't have any smoke." "Well, show us where they are. We won't hit them." But I know these people, they're notorious. They kill friendlies every time they shoot, especially for company-sized contacts out here. Blue Mac shows up. One of the Americans is going to get shot up. That's the way it's always been. They wounded 27 one day, really nice. Really accurate people. Nobody likes them. So, I didn't have any goddamn choice. I just hovered over these people down there so they wouldn't hit them. Started taking fire and had to break out. Mac shot up the place a little bit. Started getting close. I went back. Showed him again. Had to hover again for about 30 seconds again. Working out with my turret. And shooting a pair of rockets every now and then. Everybody thought that was cool. I didn't. It wouldn't have done unless it had to be done, you know. One of those things, huh? Anyway, long story. They got him out. Both pilot was dead. Tree came through the bubble and killed him. Then hostile fire didn't kill him. Crashed in. Which is unusual, because he really shouldn't have died. I've seen a lot of people go down through the trees. It was funny, though. He'd gone out there that day, and he talked to some people the night before, and he said, "You know, he says, I'm going to die tomorrow." "I was like, you're crazy." He said, "No, I am. I'm going to die. I feel it. Don't fly." He said, "I got to fly." Went out there that day, and we're flying out. Beautiful morning. He comes up on the radio, just happy as hell. He says, "You know, this is a fine day to die. It's really pretty." Everybody, "Jesus Christ, what is this nut, you know, freaking out?" "Shut up, man. Go away." He died. I really wonder if he knew. That's weird. God damn. 2 days he talked about it. Finally did. I don't know. He didn't do anything wrong. He got shot in the tail rotor and hit the tail rotor drive shaft and disintegrated the tail boom, and he flipped into the trees. And, hell, he was only doing about 40 knots. Treetop level, he should have lived. He loaded the very crash-worthy aircraft. Shouldn't have died. But he did. I wonder if he really actually knew that he was going to die. Weird. So anyway, CJ Anlock was preparing. He got his body out. And incidentally, his door gunner down there doesn't won the Distinguished Service Cross for refusing to leave him. We sent somebody down there to pull him out right away, and he wouldn't leave him. Gooks all around him. Sitting down there with his 60. I could see him down there shooting his 60. And My 60 is a 30 cal light machine gun that they all carry anyway. He's down there shooting. Had a radio, and he said, God damn it, I'm not leaving. I don't know whether he's dead or not. The guy's pinned on the wreckage. Said, I don't know whether the guy's dead, and I'm not leaving. He gets some help down here to me. He gave him a Distinguished Service Cross, which is the second highest award the country can give you. I think it was apropos of that. There's been 30 gooks down there trying to get to him.